Good morning, friends. Good morning. I'm certainly happy to be coming your way once again with a short gospel message. Listen to the scripture beginning with Luke 9:57. And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Now, isn't that interesting how the Lord would say such as this to someone who offered to go with him? He didn't promise him very much, did he, as far as this world goes. Foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. So, from this I take it that if one really wanted to follow the Lord, he wouldn't be doing it just for the loaves and fishes. He really meant it and would be sincere if he would put his heart into it and go right on with the Lord. And he said unto another, Follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, Let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. That's down through verse 62 of the 9th chapter of Luke. Oh, what a lesson in that for us. Here we see how that Jesus was willing and anxious and ready for people to follow him and do his bidding, but he sure wanted them to have their heart in it, to know that they were sincere in doing it, not just going along for the popularity which they might receive as they went along the way. Now, of course, I believe this has a great depth of meaning to it. How it would apply to a person who really wanted to follow the Lord, and if they did, they're willing to leave everything else behind them, anything that would stand in their way. They're willing to turn their back on it and say, Lord, I'll take your will. I'll do your bidding first of all, first and most in my life. I wonder today, friends, how many folks are allowing other things to stand between them and the will of God. God has a plan for you. God has a plan for your life, and He's seeking you for you to give all to follow Him. Just by way of illustration, let me tell you how this scripture came to me one time. Of course, I felt the Lord's call upon my life to preach His Word even from youth up. But later when He did call me unto the work of the Lord, He blessed me and I was glad for His blessings. In the meantime, though, I was quite often busy working at a job, providing for my family and children and so on, the needs that they have in ourselves. And then, in later years, I felt that God wanted me to devote more fully my time to the work of God. So, in 1965, the Lord gave me this ministry over the air. And so I began to do this, but I took a lot of time to make tapes and printed copies and answering correspondence and all these sort of things, and I was still working at my job. And I felt very strongly impressed that I should give up my job as a linotype operator. I remember so well the place where I worked there in the big daily newspaper in Oklahoma City. And so I prayed over this much, and I sought the Lord for guidance that I might not make a mistake. It means something when you give up financial support from a salary and a good job and all. So I prayed about this much, and I felt definitely impressed that this would be God's will for me. So I had it in my mind one evening. I worked on the evening shift. When I walked into the plant that day, that I was going to ask for what the boys call this little pink slip You sign the little pink slip which terminates your duty with the company. And so I had made it up that I was going to ask for that when I walked into the plant that evening. And I remember looking up there to this, where the supervisors stayed, the glassed-in compartment there, the room where they had their desks, and from where they could look out over the composing room. But I didn't see the supervisor that I hoped would be on duty at that time. It was another one of the supervisors. And so the thought came to me, well, maybe we'll just not do it this evening, another time. And as I turned and started to walk away, this scripture came so forcibly to me. No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Well, surely I wanted to be fit to do God's will. And so as that came to me so forcibly, I just turned around again and walked right into that office and told the one on duty there at the time what I had come for, that I had come to place my resignation with the company, the termination of my services there. Well, he brought forth the pink slip and I signed it. But, you know, to this very day, I'm not sorry that I did. Some way, in God's marvelous manner, he has provided the needs of my family. All of our children are married now. Francis and I have four. They're all grown and married, homes of their own. And so we're left alone. But some way, God provided for our needs and the needs of our family. And I'm like that little song that the dear ones in Jamaica used to sing. I suppose they still do. I'd like to go back and see one of these days. But little chorus which they sing, I'm not sorry at all. I can truly say that I'm not sorry that I gave my heart to the Lord, that I hearken unto his voice to preach the gospel. I count this a great privilege to be able to speak for him. Surely we're standing between life and death of many souls, and we want to be worthy to be called a servant of the Lord. And so, dear ones, let us never, never look back, but that we will go forward, not looking back to the things of the world, not looking back to the things of sin and evil which would hinder us from doing the will of God. There's danger in looking back. You may remember how that Lot was instructed, don't look back, don't look behind you. But his wife, for some reason, whether from curiosity or the love of her relatives which may have remained back in Sodom and Gomorrah, she looked back. And the scriptures tell us that she became a pillar of salt. Israel, when they were out of Egypt, they longed for the food, the garlics and the meats and so on that they had back down there. God was displeased with them because they murmured. Now, another thing, some folks try to serve the Lord and the enemy at the same time. Now, this must put a person in a pitiful condition. Listen to this scripture from Luke 16 and verse 13. It says, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. So friends, one or the other must be left behind you. You cannot straddle a fence. You cannot serve the Lord and the enemy at the same time. You must leave sometime some of your dearest relatives behind if they hinder you from doing God's will. Speaking about the things that come upon those who turn away from serving the Lord and how that you cannot serve God and mammon, let me remind you of the Philistines that took the Ark of the Lord. They captured it and they brought it down to Ashdod. Now, there at Ashdod in the temple, they had this temple of Dagon, this great idol there which they had in this temple. So they brought the Ark of the Lord in before Dagon and they left it there overnight. Do you know what happened? As unbelievable as it may seem, the next morning, when they got up and they went to the temple of Dagon, there lay Dagon on his face before the ark of the Lord. Well, I suppose they thought this is very unusual, so they picked old Dagon up and they set him back on his pedestal and put him back in his place. And the next morning when they came down there again, the same thing had happened, only it was worse because both of his hands were cut off. And there was just a stump remaining of Dagon. He was broken up. And so this, they thought, is time for alarm, time to do something. Well, they began to move the ark of the Lord around from city to city in the land of the Philistines. Well, trouble began to show up, and sickness and affliction, and wherever they took this ark of the Lord, it brought affliction to them because they weren't serving the Lord. Finally, they were so afflicted, they thought, well, we better do something, and what shall we do? So they asked their the diviners and those who the priests that they had, idolatrous priests, I suppose. They asked them, what shall we do with it? And here's what those folks told them, which is evidently a pretty good plan. Now, therefore, make a new cart and take two milk kine, on which there hath come no yoke, and tie the kine to the cart, and bring their calves home from them. Take these two milk cows, and they've never been worked or tied up to a yoke or anything, and make this cart and tie it on to them and keep their calves at home. And take the ark of the Lord and lay it upon the cart, and put the jewels of gold which ye return him for a trespass offering in a coffer by the side thereof, and send it away that it may go. And see, if it goeth up by the way of his own coast to Beth Shemesh, then he hath done us this great evil. But if not, then we shall know that it is not his hand that smote us. It was a chance that happened to us. And the men did so, and took two milk kine, and tied them to the cart, and shut up their calves at home, and they laid the ark of the Lord upon the cart, and the coffer with the mice of gold, and the images of their emerods, and the kine took the straight way of Beth Shemesh, and went along the highway, lowing as they went, and turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. And the lords of the Philistines went after them unto the border of Beth Shemesh. That's down through verse 12. So, friends, they found out that God was real. Oh, dear ones, let us be like these milk cows, that we'll not turn aside for love of the things of the world or loved ones of this world who would hinder us from serving the Lord, but we'll go right on. My time is gone. Do be with us again next Sunday, same time, same station. Until then, this is Willie Murphy saying God bless and keep you always, and a very cheerful goodbye.